name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. I'm going to teach you some more Greek today. Can you say the word ekphrasis with me? Ekphrasis. 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 Say it three times. Ekphrasis, ekphrasis, ekphrasis. And ekphrasis is a Greek term that means really similarly to kind of repeat again, to say again, to reassume. But in literature and in art, we have what's called an ekphrastic poem. And an ekphrastic poem is when you write a poem or you compose a work of art or a song based on another work of art that you've seen. An ekphrastic poem, probably like one of the most, the Musée d'Orsay, probably a good Ode to a Grecian Urn, John Keats. That's an ekphrastic poem. Ozymandias by Percy Shelley. That's a ekphrastic poem. Rainer Maria Rilke wrote an ekphrastic poem after seeing this torso of Apollo, right? After this great work of art, there's this need and this compulsion when we see something excellent, we see something beautiful, to tell somebody about it, right? And maybe you guys aren't literature people. That's okay. You know, Sports Illustrated does the same thing. What is Sports Illustrated? What is ESPN? But offering commentary, daring to speak about the excellent human form in action at a sporting event. Simone Biles. Anybody know the gymnast Simone Biles? People are saying the most beautiful things, offering the most beautiful words about this young lady who has transformed gymnastics. She invented her own flip. She flips inside a flip. She totally rewrites gymnastics, just as great poets and great songwriters rewrite the genre. After seeing an epiphany of something that beautiful breaks into our world, and we have to dare to speak about it and offer something else beautiful. It's a human, it's not just a literary technique, it's a human technique. As we prepare for the Phillips Fast, all of the hymns that will adorn this period are ekphrastic poems. They are responses to the most beautiful work of art that ever came into this world, the God-man. And all of the hymns point to the fact that we dare not just sing the hymns, but offer an ekphrastic response, not with our mouths, but with our whole life. Because the Lord, who has patiently prepared from the beginning of time to adorn this house that is the human race, requires that we repeat, or at least attempt to respond to that. As we heard in the opening hymn, and we'll sing again, we'll have the ladies please stand up. O house of Ephratah, the holy city, the boast of the prophets, beautify the house in which the Lord is born. What does the house of Ephratah sing?
The
house of Ephratah. That's the place where David came from. David's family and lineage was prepared from the beginning of time so that we could have a Savior come from that line. It was hinted at by the prophets. It was that deliberate. It's been presented to us in the poetry of the Psalms, in the utterances of the great kings and prophets like David himself. And this whole period of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving is our opportunity to beautify our house. Because in the gospel today, when we had this rich man who has a very fine dwelling, as soon as he gets a little bit more money, he says, I'm going to build an even bigger house. But the house that he builds, please sit down, thank you, was not to glorify himself. The house he built was to glorify nobody but himself. It was a beautified house that ended and was self-reflexive. It didn't respond like an ekphrastic poem to like the bulging torso of Apollo, that after seeing it, Rainer Maria Rilke says, you must change your life. It's not like LeBron James, who so many kids see him on the street, say, I have to be a basketball player like that guy. It's not like Simone Biles, who after you see the beauty of what she does with the human body, says, we need to have more gymnasts like that. And maybe even me. The ability to beautify our house is the best response, is the best ekphrastic poem that we could give to the Lord. We're offered this opportunity to pray more. The psalmist says that the just man sins 7 times a day, but the church gives us an opportunity 7 times a day in its prayer routine to respond and to redeem our language that is so often given over to cursing to make it a blessing. So that's why we have the prayer routine that we do here. We have matins and the minor hours, 4 of them. We have vespers. We have compline. And we have 7 times a day, typica, the ability to adorn our house, to adorn our mouths, so that cursing doesn't dwell there for a little bit, so that there can be room for blessing in our mouths and in our lives, and we can redeem all of those infractions, right? And if we don't do that, if we don't take that extra time to pray, if we don't take that extra time to tear down the barn that we've been building for ourselves of our own glory and the sacrament of confession, we may build exquisite structures with that lie that we tell to ourselves. How many of you guys ever told a lie and it gets more fanciful and more complicated because you got to dance around that lie, that original lie? You weave a dance around it. You do gymnastics around it. Looks almost as beautiful as Simone Biles, but ultimately at the heart of that exercise is a lie. Let's undo that and let the words of the liturgy and all their decorated splendor be the words, be the cathedral that we build up in our lives. Do we have an icon corner in our places of home so that God can be a member of your family and not just the strange neighbor who's nagging at you to come on Sunday? Is that part of your house beautified? Slavonic, and it's called the beautiful corner, not just the icon corner, the beautiful corner, so that that beauty of God can adorn your house intimately and not pass by you in silence, so that you can see daily an icon of the Lord breaking in to our world and offer that response, as unworthy as it is. Now, some of you guys might say that, well, some of this music is a little complicated, Father Andrew, and, you know, I don't necessarily feel comfortable, singing it. But at the same time, it's that level that is both reachable but then elevates our discourse. If you don't have the ability to write a poem, the liturgy will write it for you. But we only adorn the most beautiful things, especially at Vespers. If you come to Vespers on Saturday evening, you'd hear at the Dogmaticon, in which we meditate before the great entrance, the mystery of the Incarnation. Every Saturday, we remind ourselves of what Jesus did in becoming man through the Virgin Mary. And the most beautiful melodies find their way in there. We adorn that house. We give that response, not so that they become dead letters on a page or a fact far off in 2,000 years of history, so that the intensity of that could be as present to us today, so that we can always have before our faces the epiphany of something the likes of which we'd never seen before, as graceful as the best gymnast, as beautiful and as elegant and as powerful as the best basketball players, as more glorious and more ingenious and more singular than any of the most masterpiece works of art that you'd find at the Art Institute of Chicago or wherever else. Take that extra time to come to these services and engage and respond with your own poem of praise to the Lord as it's given to you. Take this time, this Phillips fast, to tear down that barn of whatever lies you've been telling yourself, so that when you die, you can give an account. So that you, when you die, at the end of the litany, when we pray for a peaceful end of our life and for a good account before the fearsome judgment seat of Christ. And when we say good account, it is exactly what that gospel is saying. Did you build up a barn for yourself, for your lies to dwell in? Or did you adorn and beautify the house so that the Son of God can be born in your life anew for yourself and for the salvation of the world? That's what we're asking. So I'll leave you with this hymn that we sing very often, Dogmaticon, tone 6, in which we ask, who would not call you blessed, O Virgin Theotokos? And all of the different ways that we texture this hymn is meant to beautify our mouths, to bring our souls into the beautiful harmony of God's message of salvation to mankind in the God-man Jesus. Please stand and let's sing.